Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy. Hey guys, it's episode 170 of Please Advise. Welcome back. Oh my gosh.
Welcome back.
Welcome the fuck back. Today we have Greg Lucy as our guest. He's my friend's husband. So we had like interns at Hello Giggles, and Tori was one of our favorites. I don't know if you knew her.
Yeah, I met her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your husband?
That's my wife. Yeah. She's the best thing I've done. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the best. So
I love a man who knows his place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so here we are. We're all here. Greg is a big Christina Lopez fan.
Okay.
Huge.
I'm sure a big Christina Lopez fan. You guys, I'm excited to be back. A lot has happened, but mostly Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande broke up.
Well, we have really someone asked us about it. We have a voice note for that.
I understand why. They've left us with nothing. Just table scraps. But we were going over like some stuff that's been going on since we last spoke before we got on mic. Christina, do you have any updates?
Well, I mean, part of the reason we had such a long hiatus was because like I was going through some stuff that was happening. So like at some point late July, early August, this is going to be a little heavy, but I mean, I told you
let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's
and I think it. The reason why I'm ready to talk about it also is like, I think there's someone else who could be going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And so just to know that someone else is dealing with stuff like this is helpful to know that you're not alone. So essentially like towards the end of July and the beginning of August, my dad was hospitalized.
Yeah.
For heart failure, and he was diagnosed with end-stage heart failure. So there's four stages. My dad is at the last stage. His heart basically means that his heart is too weak to pump properly.
Yeah.
To pump the fluids through his body properly. So it was working at like 16% capacity when I saw him in August. Basically, my mom and my brother, when he was hospitalized, were like, "Come home." Which is kind of like when you live across the country is like your worst nightmare, right?
That's the worst sentence, yeah.
So I went home and I ended up staying home for 2 weeks because I wanted to make sure that he was going to be out at least home. And he had a couple setbacks. So like in addition to like the heart failure, he has been very weak. So my dad's 5'10". Now when he was in the hospital, he weighed 112 pounds. And he was too weak to even just swallow food on his own. So they also had to put in a feeding tube while he was at the hospital. So like that was a complication. And then the doctors didn't want him going home right away. So he actually had been in a nursing facility
yeah.
for about up until last week or 2 weeks ago. But I was home. I came back home after he went to the nursing facility. And that was a rough adjustment. Cause like, you know, that was the most amount of time I had spent back in Brooklyn since I had left a decade ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like October 15th was my 10 year anniversary in LA. So that was the most amount of time.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm still here. That's the most amount of time I've spent home. And so like that was an adjustment, right? So there's a certain amount of armor you operate when you're alone in the world.
Yeah.
And then you have to like get disarmed when you're back home and let those people back in.
And then you went right into like a lot of work growth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So like when I came back here, I was like, I had just gone through being like a functioning person in New York, like not really dealing with what was happening, just kind of like
totally
getting through the day, being in the hospital for 12 hours a day, just kind of grinding it out, making sure my mom was okay, you know, helping out my brother with like his little daughters. And so like when I came back here, I was like, oh, actually dealing with everything that happened, but I was also alone. And so like that was really, really hard, is not having that. If I had asked, I would have had the emotional support there. But getting to the point of asking is really hard for me.
Yes.
So, like, that's something that's really developed over the last couple, like, month and a half, is that, like, I've been reaching out and finding that, like, people reach back. And it's been really rewarding. And also just kind of, like, doing the work of, like, making yourself vulnerable like that is hard. But it's so worthwhile. And I think I got hung up a lot on, like, worrying about how people would react to like such heaviness.
Sure.
And also like being needy, right?
Right.
And like,
but like needy, like it sounds bad. I understand like the literal like use of it, which is that you need people in your life right now, but like it's neediness has a bad rap. And I think everyone can be needy and should be needy at times. This is the one that makes the most sense. Like this is, your growth in the last month and a half has been like really interesting. Like you definitely are like something's changed.
Yeah.
For sure.
There was like a seismic shift in like how like I approach my life, how I approach a lot of things. And a lot of that came from just being a vulnerable person and like being hurt. And like, you know, not everyone responded the way that I wanted to in my like ideal dream of dreams. Right?
Yeah. Right.
People are awkward. They don't know what to do when things are heavy like that. Like, oh, my dad almost died. Like there was a moment where my mom and my dad said goodbye to each other as if it was the last time.
Yeah.
Because he was going in for a procedure that like was risky. And to like, people don't know, like there's an inherent awkwardness to that because we don't know. We always want to say the perfect thing, but we never do.
Yeah.
The worst thing I think is to say nothing.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like if you get hung up on like, ooh, I don't know what to say, so I'm not going to say anything at all. I mean, like I think the effort is at least appreciated. leave religion out of it if you know that person's like not, you know, it's like, don't worry, God will get you through it. Like I got some of that and it's, I'm an atheist. So like that just kind of just like, I can't respond the way I want to respond because I'm worried about making this person comfortable now.
Well, I think everyone's reaction is to try and say something that they would want said to them.
Exactly.
And most of the time, like that's, I think, why a lot of people come up with nothing, because I think a lot of times people know that there's very little you can say to make something like that okay. There's like a desperate need to fix. And I think that that is like probably where the religion stuff comes in too, is because some people are just like thinking about what they would want said to them or what they were raised.
Yeah.
In our previous, like last generations before us were very religious for the most part.
Yeah.
But Christina, like I'm like, Willie's the man. Like your dad's
You were really wonderful during that time, you know, like I, you know, it just like confirmed that like, when you're on your own like this in this kind of city and, you know, you're away like so far away from home, you do like build your own family. And like it showed me that I had that and that I could lean on that when I really needed to.
I got your back, sis.
Yeah, I got your back, too.
I mean, I vape now.
Yeah.
That's like I would say that that's made me a better friend.
Yeah.
But
because you're in the space with me and you can still have your
I
moment.
Love to vape.
Yeah.
But continue on. Sorry.
No, but it's just like, you know, and And like, I went through a little bit of a depression after too, because like, it's like the deficit of that familial love, and also like dealing with something that was so heavy, like this kind of like rote anxiety that you always have churning in the background of like, ooh, when am I going to get that call?
Of course. Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's like, that is a trauma that's, I think, very relatable.
Well, and it's also just because like this thing that my dad has was something that, and if listeners might remember this, I talk about a godmother that I had who died, and this is what she died of as well. So I'm very familiar of like how quickly things can go wrong. And so like for a long time, I was guilty for even just enjoying life.
Yeah.
I felt guilty for being here, for being in LA, right?
Yeah.
I felt like I was selfish and I wasn't, because I saw the toll, like all that stuff was taking on my family, right? But like not being here, not being there for that also was taking a toll on me. And so like, how do you balance that? How do I justify my life here? How do I like, I, you know, my mind is like, oh, I should move back home. I can move back home. You know, I can work from anywhere really, with the way my job works now. But ultimately, you know, I know that I belong here and I can't really explain what it is. But that said, going through all that like fundamentally changed me as a person, and it all happened within about two, three months.
Yeah.
And I got a haircut in that.
Yeah. Christina got all of her hair off. As soon as she showed it to me, I said, this is unfair because I know it will grow back so quickly.
Yeah.
But she did like a big chop and it looks great.
Yeah,
you did this like 2 years ago, but your hair gets so long.
Yeah.
It's so unfair. This is the longest my hair has been in forever.
It grows so fast. But so like it was that, it was like having that was like a, just felt different. And it,
yeah,
I just feel like a different person in terms of like how I'm approaching life right now. And like, I'm dating a little bit more and like having
Please fun. Advise Nation, what's up? Yeah, I know. Now I don't have to like worry about your, or like wonder about your life and create six scenarios for
you. Oh yeah. Cause I'm just telling you now like what my dating life is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And like before there was so much, you wouldn't even tell me what kind of fucking cereal you ate. So there's that. But Christina, like, thank you for sharing that. And also,
I just want people to know, like,
don't underestimate that relatability of this.
Right.
Because everyone in our, every single person listening to this right now either has dealt with this or they will eventually be dealing with a very sick parent or close relative.
Right. And I'm dealing with it a lot earlier than I thought I would. You know what I mean? But I also, like, I'm grateful that I had a healthy parent most of my life. I am grateful that I had a parent who was in my life.
Yeah. You Willie's know? The man.
It just like set a lot of perspective for me, and like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Willie's a Leo.
He is.
Greg is a Leo.
Oh.
Two yeah. Leos I like.
Are you a July Leo or an August Leo?
I'm an August Leo.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. When's
okay.
your birthday again?
The 5th.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Early August. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm one of three Leos you can tolerate socially.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just can't date Leos. I think I know a lot of Leos and I'm fine with them.
Yeah.
But Willie's a Leo.
My dad's a
Leo.
Love
him.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And all of that is to say that, like, you know, whatever you're going through right now, you're not the only person to have gone through it, but you're also not alone, and that you might actually be surprised by how people respond and how much they care for you if you just reach out.
Yeah.
And I know how hard that is, but trust me, it's been so rewarding to, like, actually try it and have it come back to me tenfold.
Yeah.
Well, I love you, girl.
I love you too, Molly.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
What were you going to say, Greg?
No, I was just going to say I related so much to the guilt of distance being in LA and having family on the East Coast. And yeah, it can be just soul crushing. If it makes you feel selfish.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you just got to remember you're on this journey for a reason.
Well, I mean, that was also the whole reason why they raise you, is so that you can have your own life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like do something. And like that was something that my mom, because I've talked to my mom about these feelings. Like she was like, no, you're the whole reason why we raised you this way was that so you could live your life. And that's all we want for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's all, your family's so supportive too. Like you have a very special family.
And I do.
So in particular, when they ask you to come home, like that's striking.
Yeah.
Because your family would normally never do that. That's how I knew it was very serious as well. I was like, they would never normally ask her to come home.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that the fact that they did ask you to come home is a good thing. Because it's like, they'll call on you when they really need you, yeah. as opposed to like springing something on you or like supposedly like not wanting to bother you. I hate that when people use that as I didn't want to bother you. Well, it's like, yeah. I would have rather you tried. And so it's good to
know
that
someone told me, because I was like, I was talking to them about like the spiral that I was going down. And she was like, why didn't you tell me? And I was like, I didn't want to bother you. And she's like, you're never a bother, like ever. Yeah. Like, don't wait for me to ask how you're doing to tell me how you're doing. And I was like, I needed to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But
just like update. Start. Yeah. Just like start the sentence. Yeah. You see me, I come into a room and I just start like vomiting information. I think I'm better than I used to be about that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, you should get more comfortable with that. I'm glad that
I'm
like
getting there,
life
yeah.
is giving you, if you get one like good thing out of this, it'll be like some nice positive growth in that way.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
so
been really, really beautiful. And like my dad's home now.
Yep.
He's, you know, he's gained a couple lbs.
He like walked up the. Great. I mean, the biggest thing is he walked up the stairs.
Yeah, so like he basically has been like immobile for like 3 years because of different like hip knee issues and arthritis issues, and that's what led to a lot of his heart issues, was because he wasn't walking around much and like getting his cardio in. But so like he went through serious like rehabilitation at that nursing home. And he walked up like two flights of stairs to go visit my nieces for the first time in their home.
Yeah.
And so like that was really cool. And actually he's like, so he's also diabetic, and but now he doesn't have to inject insulin anymore because he's been so consistent in the last 3 months with his sugar levels.
That's impressive.
That like he is pretty much doesn't really need to be on insulin anymore.
That's amazing.
So it's wow. been a really like amazing improvement. And part of me is like, ooh, I don't want to celebrate the success too much because it can be easily wiped away. Like I know how quickly that can happen, but also not to be too cautious about it and just like let myself have a win.
Yeah. And you know? What it means for him too. Like that's, yeah. that's, you know, that makes him more hopeful. And also like how encouraging, like after all this time and how scary it was so recently to like be making it up the stairs out of almost nowhere is like, yeah. that's great.
Yeah.
You guys, do you want to sort of like get into the questions and stuff in a little bit, or should we jam for a little bit more?
Well, let's like talk to our guests a little more.
Oh, Greg, do you have 3 reasons why you're qualified to give advice?
Absolutely.
Okay.
One, I'm here. I've been vetted by Malls, so you know I'm the real deal.
Yeah, that's true.
Two, I'm in therapy. I'm obviously okay. enlightened. Three, I'm a writer and therefore an expert on the human condition. I'm an observer.
Yep. You're so. you also got married and you live in LA. That's a good one.
Yeah, getting married is eye opening. Like the process of getting married, dealing with two families all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It was a lot to take on and learn lessons from.
How did you guys meet again? Like Tinder?
Twitter. We had a mutual friend on Twitter, Allie Shouten. I reached out to her because I saw Tori tweet something and I just like randomly replied to her like a creep, you know. She replied back, piqued my interest, and I saw we had a friend in common, and I asked for the in there, and it took like 8 months for Tori to reach back out to me.
Okay.
But when she did, you know, I had her in my web.
I love that. Sometimes I totally understand that whole thing. I've been on both sides of that, and it's nice like to be like, yeah, I was creeping on you and I thought you were special. So yeah, I mean that's like an ideal situation. Can I actually ask you guys about a scenario that I was in recently that surprised me?
Yeah.
I started thinking about this because I interacted with this person at first because of Twitter, and boy do I regret that. So it's like an adult man, and I thought that like, I hoped he was gay when he reached out. That was my like hope, was that it wasn't going to be like a weird straight man thing where I'm trying to be like friends with a straight man, but they're gross. So I made Logan check his Twitter, and he goes, Molly, he and his wife went to a musical on August 16th. Like, he's totally married. And I was like, okay, like, now I'll interact with this person. And then I was like, we started talking. I'm really interested in, like, his line of work, what he does. And so I was like, you should come on one of the pods. And we're like, talking. And he says something like, he's like, oh, well, I just don't send nudes or anything. And I was like, yo, like, why would you say that? Like, why are we just having a normal conversation and then, like, you bring up nudes? Like, why would anyone say that?
The word nudes is disgusting.
Yeah, and that also, like, normally doesn't happen to me. And, like, that just, like, I think, you know, we've talked about this. I've never gotten a dick pic because I think the guys know that I would just, like, I'm not. That would do nothing. Like, that wouldn't get me. That wouldn't get you in the door at all. Like, if anything, I'd ruin your life over it. But most likely,
maybe
I'd just
that's
be
why
really,
they know that you would like post it on the internet somewhere.
I probably like wouldn't.
No, I know that you wouldn't. But I can see that being like the perception.
Oh, in other days of my life, I absolutely would have. But like, so this is my thing: is that like, can I ever talk to this person again? Like, there's no way. He was like, when I called him out and said, like, why would you say that to me? He was like, oh, I'm like embarrassed. Like, I was making a joke. Sorry. Like, I try really hard sometimes. And I was just like, dude, there's no coming back from this. Like, I can't ever speak to you again. And I just don't know. Like, maybe I'm wrong for that. But, like, does anyone make a joke about nudes, especially a married man to, like, a strange woman that's, like, ever okay?
No, I don't know.
There's no – right?
I'm not friends with a lot of married men.
Right. I mean, Greg,
as a married, yeah, as a married man, I would never
imagine.
Bring up nudes
how
to
weird
another
would
woman.
That be? Yeah. Like, how – if, like, literally, like, if Greg ever texted me anything with the word nudes in it, I would be like, what? I'm just, like, that – and that is my reaction. Like, with this guy, is I just – it's almost comical to me. It's like a bad impression of a guy being gross. And it really like bummed me out. But then I saw myself almost like take it as a challenge where I was like, now I'm really going to be friends with you. Like, now I'm really going to show you like how like how stupid you were for saying that. Like, because I'm going to be so cool about it. But then I just was like, no. Molly, you're like, you're feeding into this like sick game. I don't know. I feel like it's a weird thing. And I also think I found this guy because he like had a viral like Me Too tweet or something.
Yeah. Can we have more context to the conversation before the nudes?
Like,
how did you meet this guy? Like,
I followed him because he had like a good Me Too tweet.
Oh, okay.
And like, then he followed me because he saw like, I followed him. I'm verified. He's also verified. He's in a very specific line of work that's not my line of work. And but it's like loosely we can like – it's a loose enough affiliation that like it there's like common interest. So like he follows me back and then like just – I don't know. Like he responded to a few of my tweets and then – I forget what it was. Like, maybe he – I think he DM'd me first and said, like, you're really funny. We should get coffee sometime. And I was like, oh, I totally want to, like, pick – in my head, I'm thinking, like, I really want to pick someone's brain who, like, works in his line of work. Because it's like – I'll tell you off mic, but it's super interesting. And so I said yes. Because, like, the reality is, like, everyone I know is from the internet. Like, that part isn't weird of it to me. Then I thought, like, okay, he would be great. I'll please advise because of his line of work. And so, like, I was like, you should come on the podcast. Or he even said, like, you should have me on your podcast. And I was like, okay.
Forward.
I mean, people
I don't like
say
that.
Stuff
yeah.
like that.
I don't know why. I know
people say that all the time.
I don't know why, but it bugs me. And it's
half
just like,
guests
you, who do you think you are?
You no, should I have know. Me on your podcast. Yeah. Wow.
Well, like,
well, especially when they're like, no offense, nobodies.
Like, well,
you don't even
I mean,
have an interesting
like
social media presence.
Yeah. I want to have on my friend that's my crypto friend, and he's a nobody. He's like, I mean, a quote unquote nobody. He's like a person. I like that.
I mean, just like
advice.
People who don't outwardly show any sense of personality. So how am I supposed to gauge how you are as a guest on a show?
You well, know what I mean? That's not this guy. Like this guy, I'll tell you off mic what he does. He is. It is very interesting.
Right, right, right.
But that said, like, no, the thing when I hate that really is with the Lifetime podcast. Because I'm like, bitch, this is a hard podcast to do. You think like your 43 following ass is like gonna get like no way. Like but that said, sometimes our best guests are the ones that are like don't even really have social.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true.
Okay. Should we start the show? But also you guys write in about this sexter. I need to know.
Just another follow up question.
Yeah.
Was there career synergy here for this coffee meetup? Because I already think it's a little weird that he DM'd you to get coffee as a married man.
Really?
Just
because people have to know each. I mean, people have to meet each other.
Yeah, yeah. What are we saying as a society that men and women can't be friends?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you felt the need to do it like behind closed doors.
As opposed to like, what do you mean? Like if like tweeting me publicly?
There's just something. Maybe it's that I know he said the word nudes to you.
Yeah.
That's coloring this in.
No, now it's all. It's not always like that. And I think that's like what's remarkable about it to me is that it's almost like a cartoonish version of what happens when someone DMs you. But typically people don't mess with me like that.
Right.
You know? So I guess I'm just like partially disappointed and weirded out. But I don't know. I mean, it's weird. You're right. It is weird.
No, I just my wife would be very weirded out if I was DMing girls to just get coffee because I thought they were funny.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's weird. It's weird. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Like, how do you finesse that? Because you're like, you could be coming with pure intentions.
No, yeah,
like,
definitely. I think if it's clear what the intentions are, if they're very clear, that seemed like a very general volley he kind of put out there to you.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me want to puke. Okay.
But maybe I'm being too hard on this guy. Maybe I'm being
No, you're not. You're not. That's like totally right. That's totally right. Ew, what a weirdo. Also, he's like gross. Like, no way. God. Okay. I want to barf. Like, yeah.
Okay.
I think I might actually. Can we like move on so I
can
like go
barf? Yeah, we can.
Hey, Malls, Christina, Wags, and Guest. I am dying to hear what you guys think about Ariana and Pete's short-lived engagement. I pretty much lost all hope after that happened. No, I'm kidding. I think maybe we all saw it coming. I mean, I saw it coming. But yeah, I want to hear your guys' thoughts. What do you think?
I have a lot of thoughts, actually. Of course I do.
I bet you do.
I mean, well, I was pretty like taken with this whole relationship, like I think the whole nation was since the day it started. And the narrative for me has changed post breakup, like thinking about how, in a way, you know, Ariana, the stans wouldn't want her to be with anyone. There is no right answer. Like someone said to me last night, like, oh, maybe it would be like a Harry Styles situation. Maybe people will be happy with someone like that. And I was like, no, because two stars can't flourish like that. There needs to be, but, you know, it can't be like a Kevin Federline situation where she's pulling some guy out of obscurity or whatever, especially a guy with like a pregnant girlfriend. But, you know, Pete Davidson is 24 years old. He's worth $3 million. Like he was one of the youngest people ever on SNL. He has like a nice little career for himself. The dude's not like a loser. Like, and that's like for some reason he's been painted that way. Like with the GoFundMe is like start. I mean, like, I know that that's like funny, I guess, but like, I kind of like don't love the idea about joking about the fact that he's going to be like homeless. He's not. And like, if you think that person who's on SNL, which is like a cultural institution, is going to be homeless. If that's the joke, that is a weird thing we're trotting out as a society, as a standard.
Or I was wondering if it was because of the inequity of their pay that people were like, you know,
That's
making,
what I'm saying.
Making fun of him in a sense that, like, oh, because he didn't earn as much as her.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, that's
like in
stupid,
a gendered
though.
Way. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. It's like, it's very, like, yeah, Ariana Grande is worth $40 million. Find me how many 24-year-olds worth $40 million, like, self-made in a way. Like, she has, yes, I think she's from, like, a very wealthy family to begin with. But she's made that money on her own. So when someone who's 24 years old made $40 million, there's no equal partner for them ever. Like, she's the biggest pop star in the world, basically. Of course she's going to have a hard time finding a partner.
What if it was, like, I think a lot about Serena Williams and her relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, she found someone that was, like, of equal or, like, earning income.
But a totally different industry.
Totally different industry, and also just, like, more stable in terms of, like, he doesn't necessarily have to travel as much as she does for tournaments or for concerts. Like, she needs someone who can be at a home base for her.
Sure.
But doesn't rely on her for income and success and stuff like that. So that's, it's going to be a hard, I think that's ultimately where she's going to find, like, good love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like
someone stable, which is what I thought he was, because he's kind like of planted to yeah. New York, because that's where he's from, and also that's where, like, the show he works on is. But, like, I don't know, man. I feel gypped. Like, I feel like we this went on too long
robbed, yeah,
for without for me not to get a wedding. I need a wedding. Like, it's okay. We all know that it's not going to last. Summer really is over. Someone tweeted that the other day when they broke up. That is what it feels like. It was a whirlwind summer. And I don't know. I think they're both going to be really embarrassed by all of this sooner rather than later if they're not already embarrassed. I mean, because it's just embarrassing to love someone that much, period. Like, it's a shit show. It's just, like, so, it's so raw and vulnerable. Like, if you and Tori, when you guys were, like, really ramping it up, if you guys broke up, that would be fucking rough to come back from in a lot of ways, but also just, like, image-wise.
Yeah, you'd feel like a fool.
You feel out of control. Yeah. You're like, oh, my God, I really, like, let something get the best of me. I don't know. I feel bad for both of them, man. I really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's just like they're young, you know, but they probably really actually did genuinely. I feel weird talking about other people's, like, real life.
I don't give a fuck.
I know
this
you don't,
they
but
brought,
like,
this into
I
my
do.
Life. They brought this in. They bring this into our lives. They do. They benefit from it. They absolutely do. All they have done. I don't even think Pete Davidson would have been brought back to SNL this year. Based on his contributions, if he hadn't gone through this relationship.
I don't know. I feel like Lauren has, like, a weird investment in him somehow. If I was, like, yeah.
I mean, I don't. I mean, maybe. I don't.
He also kept Pete Hammond around for a long time. And while he was going through.
Daryl
Hammond. Excuse yeah. me. Daryl Hammond around while he was going through really.
But Daryl Hammond's one of the best cast members of all time. Pete is, yeah. doesn't really. He can't even play characters, which is, like, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that because realistically, like, with. You know, he's also created quite, like, a ruckus around himself publicly, where it's like at this point, it's really difficult to watch him on the show just because we know so much about his personal life, which typically with the SNL people, we don't really have that insight to their personal lives.
What
when
would
it on
say
the show.
If they did let him go, knowing, like, his mental health issues were the way?
Having mental health issues isn't a job insurance. Like, I don't think that should be the case. I think that if anything, I would feel very upset to learn that I only kept my job because I went on, like, a press tour about my mental illness. Like, I would feel really shitty about that. I don't know. Like, I just kind of thought that maybe it seemed like he had sort of, like, it was petering out. Like, he had really trotted out, like, his stand, like, the things that he always does. And I just didn't think he would be making it back. Like, so but I do think that, you know, I mean, also we've seen him in sketches playing characters for the first time this year. We've seen him exploit his relationship on multiple episodes, which is fine. I actually really like Pete Davidson, but it's also, there's, like, typically people on the cast, you don't know about their lives. Like, I didn't know about Adam Sandler's life. I still don't really know much about his life. Like, someone like Mike Myers, I only know anything about his life because, like, Coffee Talk was, like, based on his wife's mother. But like, that's very like, that's very brief.
Yeah.
Phil Hartman, Chris Farley. It was more like rumored that those people had problems.
And Chevy Chase. Yeah,
sure. And like, that's like we're talking about 40 years of television.
Yeah.
Like there's a select handful of people. And I just don't think he really brought the heat that way.
And it's also just like romances that start off that burn that bright that fast are like, I just don't think romances like that have a long time.
Oh, I got timeline questions about when this started. You know what I mean? I think that.
She made great music out of it. I got to say that album is really
Sweetener's
great.
Sweetener is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I stan. I'm like, I'm.
Oh, yeah. If anything, this whole situation has made me and Ariana stan. And like, I really appreciate her emotional journey this past year and a half.
Greg, what's your situation?
I think I've been thinking about this. The fact that Pete Davidson is a household name now is an achievement in itself.
Sure.
And if his plan was like, you know, what the hell? Why don't I just get engaged to this girl? If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Boosts my profile. He is Pete Davidson on SNL, like you were saying.
Yeah.
He's not a skit guy. Like, has anyone else in the history of the show ever just been like, I'm coming on to talk about me, like as who I am.
Very, very rarely.
Yeah.
Spade had like a little bit of that. Yeah. A little bit of that. And like maybe Adam Sandler had a little bit. Like, because like even his like Opera Man character was just really like Adam Sandler. Mm.
Yeah.
But Opera Man is like, here. I mean, we're cherry picking from 40 years of television. We can think of like isolated cast members who are also iconic figures, like David Spade. Yeah. Adam Sandler, like all these people still work to this day. I don't know whether or not we'll be hearing from Pete Davidson in 25 years, but it would be interesting. I'm along for the ride for sure. Now, Mac Miller's death, that being, I mean, RIP, I'm not going to like pretend I was like a very knowledgeable person about his career, but it is so sad. And like, I can't imagine a relationship. I was really thinking about it. I think it would be hard for any relationship to handle like someone's ex dying, especially like the level that they're on and also the accelerated nature of their relationship. That's like the ultimate snag. Like, it hit the ultimate snag. I don't know how most people would survive that, let alone this couple. And sometimes I just look at life and I'm like, you are a crazy ass bitch. You did the one thing, life. You did the one thing that's like a surefire, like gonna fuck this up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's like, when I look at that, I'm like, how could people fuck with like thinking that there's not something, a greater plan going on in the universe, like simulation, whatever you want to call it. How does that happen? How does literally...
It just happened.
But how does literally the one thing that's like...
I don't know if that's necessarily the one thing. Like, let's say her father died. That could have sent her, like, seriously considering...
I don't think that that's as sensational or specific. Because if her dad died, he would want to, like, you turn into your relationship. But your ex, that drags you directly into the past when that's your ex true. Dies. And like, that is...
I've seen a lot of people go through the deep... I mean, having almost just been through it, like, I can...
No,
I've seen a
I
lot
mean,
of
that definitely that definitely really affects a relationship. But it doesn't typically bring you back into your last relationship. And like, having to mourn the death of your ex while you're in a fresh relationship where you also happen to be engaged... and are super fucking famous, and like, it was a public breakup. I think that is like, that's pretty up there in terms of tests for a relationship.
Yeah.
Cause like, all of a sudden now, like,
I don't think it proves that there is a God, is what I'm saying.
But I do think that like, there's a like a universal pull. You know what I mean? I'm not asking you to like ditch your atheism. I'm just asking you to acknowledge that sometimes there can be series of events that it's just like, yo, like, that's crazy. Even like people dying in threes. Like, why does that always happen? How did this happen? How did this happen? That's what I want to know. And also, how did this happen that I don't even get a wedding out of this?
That's all that buildup, no wedding.
Yeah, it's just, and I don't know. I mean, Ariana Grande is going to be fine. But
Greg, what do you think?
I mean, sorry, dying in threes? I haven't heard.
People die, like famous people die in threes. Have you ever heard that?
No.
So like when Michael Jackson died, like Farrah Fawcett also died. And then who was the
other
one?
Well, she died first and then he died.
Yeah. And then who was the third one? It was like Tom Brokaw. It was literally like, it's like people, famous people always die in threes. Like when Princess Diana died, there was two other deaths near it. Like, but that tends to be the thing, like there's a, it's just like an old sort of like wives tale superstition thing that happens to be true a lot.
Yeah,
people die in threes. We had three people die at my like high school in a week.
Oh
yeah. Oh. I've told that story before. But like there was a teacher that died, a former student that died. Actually, it was like four people. And then I recently just like looked the story up for my friend asked me like if I had any true crime stories. So I like looked up this case. I was like, really, it played out wild, man. But I will say the universe, it surprises me nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to take our next question?
I'm good. Yeah.
You seem very ready to move on. Greg, are you ready to move on?
I'm ready to move on, but
okay.
Yeah. I don't know how we can parse it out. I think we did a pretty good job.
I could talk about this for four more hours, but yeah, let's move on to our next question. But thanks for calling, and you guys maybe keep calling about this because I'm sure if you're like me, you don't have anyone to talk to about this, and I have a lot of questions. I would love if I could be like, this is the only time anyone's ever said this. I would love to have Frankie Grande tell me like what's going on in particular. I want to talk to Frankie Grande. No one's ever said that except for me. All right, let's take our next call.
Hi, Molly. I'm not going to leave you my callback number because I honestly don't think you'll need that. But I just wanted to have some clearing up an issue me and my boyfriend had. We have just watched the beginning of season 5, episode 1 of Vanderpump Rules. And we have a little bit of a disagreement about Lala and Sheena. So in the beginning of the show, Sheena is kind of vilified as this man-stealer woman and everybody hates her. And Lala is always brought to be that kind of girl. And I think that Lala is kind of deserved in that fact and Sheena is not. And I think that I cannot hold this up. I'm too drunk, so I'll have to call you back.
Okay, so that was a very like please advise-ish call where like that was classic us where like that really took, we had to dig deep to figure out what was being said. So welcome back to the show. Greg, I'm glad you were here for this. So what I think was being said was our caller and her husband have a disagreement about whether or not Lala is being held accountable for being with a married man the way that Sheena was season 1, where the whole girl group basically ganged up on her because she had slept with Eddie Cibrian, which is the way into the show. For anyone who's not familiar, the way that Vanderpump started was it was a spinoff because Brandy and Lisa Vanderpump were on the same cast. Brandy is Eddie's ex-wife.
Right.
And one of Lisa's employees was one of the quote-unquote other women that was with Eddie. And the reason why Brandy sort of like spiraled out, like really developed, you know, allegedly like drinking problem. Like it was a huge... Sheena.
Oh, it was Sheena.
Sheena hooked up with Eddie.
Okay.
Brandy's ex-husband. And that's how the whole show started, was okay. With like a confrontation between Brandy and Sheena. And that was with like the way that Lisa Vanderpump sort of manipulated the relationships to create this spinoff. So it was a really big deal, season 1, if you'll remember. Like the whole...
Huge.
The whole female staff of Sir disliked Sheena because she was the new girl and she was a homewrecker.
Yeah.
That, and it was like very like bad words. Like,
Greg is smiling. So it's like,
it was just like, so glad there was a Vanderpump question.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like, it was like, you know, the language used around Sheena was brutal. Like, it was, like, slut, whore, homewrecker. Ooh. Like, it was really bad. Well, I mean, we had Tom and Katie on this podcast, and Katie straight up called one of our callers a whore. So like there's a culture in that restaurant of just, you know, the new girl walks in. Okay, she's a bitch. Like it's very woman-hatey within that group. It always has been.
Why do you think that we perpetuate these like high school mean girls mentalities into like adulthood?
Well, we haven't really like, so these people, they were in their early 20s. And now, yes, the show is still slut-shaming and awful. But I think that now they know it's a bad look. Like they look back and it was a bad look for them then. And it continues to be a bad look for them when they turn it into, you know, the other woman type narrative.
Right.
Why do they entertain this thing, as you're asking, into their 20s? Because they're all dating people that work at they all date at their own work.
Right.
So the appearance of like a homewrecker, quote unquote, is all of a sudden it makes everyone vulnerable. I think all the girls were afraid that Sheena was going to be around batting her eyelashes at their boyfriends.
Yeah.
And that was where it all came from. I mean, I don't know. Lala's now engaged to Randall Emmett. Like she really slam dunked that.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. she did it. She, you know, Lala, we're on the other side of 5 seasons. There's a little bit of progression, but Lala comes in. She is a controversial character. She apparently had this like boyfriend. She was really vague about it, but he was separated from his wife when they started dating. I mean, I think ultimately them not being rough on Lala is a good thing. Like that shows some sort of growth on their part, which I have to say I'm surprised by that growth, because it seems like in every other area or in a lot of other areas, they've really regressed, all of them.
Yeah, I think the difference in the way that situation is handled is Stassi. In season one, she's a nightmare.
Stassi caring about Jax.
Yeah,
is the main
super
thing
protective.
That
yeah. And then by this point, she's been kind of defanged and declawed by this nightmare boyfriend she has she is with Patrick in season 5, right?
Yeah. That was the Patrick season. But like, this is the other thing too.
The Patrick season
is that the issue is not, the issue is Jax.
Yeah.
And like, cause Brittany is still deals with like a little bit of jealousy that's unwarranted, but warranted 100%.
Yeah.
And it's like the common tie is just Jax is a shitty dude.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he kind of drove Stassi to this place where she was insanely jealous for another woman to be around. But like, that's only because she was living in a fear-based environment where some other girl rolling up to her job did potentially cause a threat to her.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we think about Jax and Brittany being engaged? Do you think they'll make it to the aisle?
I do think they will make it to the aisle.
The altar?
The altar.
Or do you think that like the between the aisle and the altar there will be an issue? Because I kind of think that.
I mean, anything's in play with Jax Taylor.
I see Jax totally being the guy that like she's like all beautiful and ready to go. And Jax is like, I can't do it. Like he is 100% I can't do it guy. Cold feet, day of the wedding. $300,000 spent.
Oh, and
Brittany, like, just left to just die inside. Oh, 100%.
He would love the attention of being the cold feet victim.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having a crisis, panic attack. Like, help me.
Yeah, it's I can't do me. This. Yeah. I move too fast. You know, he, of course, also turn it into, like, a little bit of mourning. It's too soon since his dad passed, which, by the way, never heard this man mention his father once.
No.
Like, this is a person who apparently, much like Donald Trump, like, I never thought Donald Trump had a family, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. When I found out his dad had been funding his businesses, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense that he has a family, but, like, I just kind of thought he came out of nowhere. Same thing with Jax. So, like, I think he's really manipulated a lot of, like, I think he's manipulated a lot of sympathy. I think he's bought some time.
Absolutely.
I didn't know he'd have. But, like, this is the other thing. You know that even if he leaves Brittany at the altar, which I think, really, I'm so behind this theory now. Even if he does that, I think that he will be forgiven. Time has proven over and over that Jax Taylor is not held accountable and will probably come out on the upside of this somehow. If anything, he'll wind up more adored.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's the straw that stirs the drink of the whole franchise. Yeah. I think without him, you don't, I mean,
Andy sucks his D so hard.
Yeah.
I, like, don't understand. I mean, Andy, like, blows my mind with his favorites. Shep Rose.
Yeah.
Jax.
T-Rav, even. They gave a long leash to T-Rav.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Andy gets real chummy with these fucking just, like, slob individuals. And it's so sad. But he loves it. It's, like, it's predictable. And I get it. Like, there's, you know, I mean, they're all, like, sort of, like, guys that you want to flirt with, especially if you're, like, no strings attached. I'm a gay man. This means nothing to me. Like, but I want to kind of, like, flirt with you, Shep Rose, because you're, like, a bad boy. I see it. It's just now it's so cliched, and I feel like it actually makes the audience more endeared to that person.
Yeah, he also knows who the stars of the shows are, right? Like, that's right. Why he's so far up Bethany's ass.
I think Catherine, though, deserves some real praise. That's on true. Southern Charm.
Yeah.
Patricia, I'm so done with, like, her whole...
Take your caftans, move along.
Get out of here. Yeah. You're crazy. okay, let's move on to our next call. Unless you have any other Vanderpump, like, thoughts you want to share.
No, I mean, I'm just wondering if the wedding will be blown when Jax gets that phone call again from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, about doing social media for a hockey team.
Yeah, it's his dream job.
I don't know how he thought we would think that running a Twitter for, like, a hockey team would ever fuel his income. That is a job for a 21-year-old. That's literally a job for an intern. And Jax was going to quit his job at Sir, we were to believe, to go do social media for a Florida hockey team. Like, I've got questions, man. Like, I don't insult me like that. I'm not stupid. Let's take our next call.
Hi, Molly. My name's Daphne. I'm sort of like a new listener of the show, and I just, like, really taken to your vibe on the show. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I was, like, set up to receive the way that you and your guests, like, the things that you guys have to say and just the shit that you're talking about. Like, I'm really feeling it. So I thought I would call and ask you about something that's been on my mind lately. I know you're a girl who moved to LA. I don't know if you moved on your own, but basically I moved here on my own a couple of years back. I think we're almost getting to 5 years here. And basically the honeymoon period is super over. Like, all the novelty of the city has worn off. I'm calling you, like, as I sit in traffic on PCH. And I don't know, like, I'm a creative person and I'm feeling just sort of like I'm at the end of my rope in this city that I was, like, super into when I moved here 5 years ago. And I don't like that. Like, I don't like feeling so jaded about somewhere that I had a lot of hope about. And I know this happens to a lot of people, but I guess I'm just curious. In your experience of moving out here on your own and being out here for a long time, if there was ever a point where you felt like you were at the end of your rope here and didn't really, you felt like you wanted to move, I hope I'm not going on and on, but I'm sort of starting to feel like that lately, but I feel like I know in my heart that I don't want to move back to where I'm from. I'm from Tennessee and there's nothing there, so... Anyway, I hope you're having a great day. Do you have any advice for me on keeping the faith in this city? I would really appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
First of all, I want Chinese food. I, like, just an overwhelming urge for Chinese food started during this call. I'm really on, like, a physical journey today on this podcast. But to answer your question,
you
caller,
really cleared out some energy there earlier in the episode.
Yeah. To answer your question, everyone's miserable everywhere and it's not like there's nowhere that you would live that I don't understand the feeling of not being sick of where you live. Like, I can't. I was sick of where I lived when I grew up. Eventually, you get sick of LA. Like, yeah, you're not on vacation anymore. It's been 4 years. Like, life is monotonous.
It's not monogamous,
but it's monotonous anywhere you fucking live. It's boring. Life is really long and boring, and that's just is what it is, no matter where you live.
I mean, but you have those people who are like, man, I really needed to go back to my hometown, and like, because like LA, because
it's a vacation. It's a shakeup.
Yeah,
like. People don't, it's not your hometown. It's not LA. It's that people, I like vacation too. Like, is this really where we're at? Where is like, do you like vacation? Yeah. Everyone fucking likes vacation. Everyone likes a shake up from their normal life. You could be like George Clooney and Up in the Air. That's an option for our caller. But like, yeah, anywhere you live will eventually feel like life. And that's what it is. You're living life right now. The adventure's sort of like over. You know the Rite Aid you go to. You have your doctor. You know like where your grocery store is.
You like run into people you know now sometimes.
Yeah.
Like that happens.
Like the part of LA that you liked, I think, if I'm is the newness of it. And now it's not new. And like, you know, it is only a TMZ man, 30 mile zone. Like LA is not that big and it's not that small. It's like you have officially done your laps around it and now you're living in life. And I agree, life is boring, but it's not anyone's fault.
There does happen when they're like settled. You know what I mean? When you're settled in LA and you have to decide, I think, I don't know. Did you,
maybe Greg, she's a Gemini.
When you came here, did you have like a time period on your thing, or were you just like, is this your home now? Like, what is, how do you look at your time here?
Yeah, that's what I think is kind of interesting is I felt like it took me 5 years to acclimate to LA, to feel like, okay, I'm used to the bullshit here now. This is my home, especially coming from the East Coast. I think it's a bigger adjustment, but I guess it could go the other way. And once you hit 5 years, you're like, maybe I've lived my pretend entourage scenes or whatever you come out here expecting and you're just over it. And you want to go back and experience seasons and relatively normal people again. Yeah.
See foliage.
I think people look back on Entourage and are unfair to it a little bit. I think we have to admit that Entourage was pretty tight when it came out.
Absolutely.
And it's more of the sign of the times. I moved to LA not because of Entourage, surely, but like in the middle of that being a big show. And
the L word, but yeah.
It was also like, I'm talking about just like the LA culture where it's like that's the kind of thing that was going on when I moved to LA. It was also like Kitson on Robertson Boulevard. I moved to LA in the middle of like the huge paparazzi wave. And like that had an excitement to it that like really sort of like electrified the city for me.
Yeah.
Now I like to live in Glendale and like I want Chinese food. And like that's not something I could say about myself when I first moved here. I think a lot of people, when you first move here, you can't imagine yourself living in the valley. You can't imagine yourself like, you know, not going to some hot restaurant or like going out to bars that aren't even in WeHo. Like, I think that when I first moved to LA, I thought like coming to the East Side was like a big thing. And I think that also you living on the West Side probably bought you more time. The fact that you've been living here for 4 years and you're just now getting sick of it. Like, I felt very routined after 2 years.
Yeah.
And LA still had some excitement to it. I think that, like, being near the ocean maybe bought you an extra year or something.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you shouldn't be living somewhere and be excited by it and feel like you have curveballs coming after 4 years. Like, my mind, what this tells me is that you are a person that's, like, a little bit of a rolling stone. Like, you probably want to be on vacation a lot. You probably want to, like, be sort of like a traveling salesman. It feels like if you're sick of LA, you basically would be tired of anywhere you lived. It's just, it is what it is. Life is not that exciting. It's just not.
No, it's not.
You know?
And there's always going to be a part of you that wonders, well, what if I hadn't done this? Or what if I hadn't done, like, I, you know, obviously I've been like reflecting a lot about my time in LA, having it just been like, oh, where did these 10 years go? What if I, like, you know, I'm not necessarily where I would imagine I was going to be when I got here 10 years ago, but I also am still here, which I also didn't think I was going to still be.
Yeah.
When I moved here 10 years, I gave myself a year to like figure it out, and really like I hadn't figured it out after that first year, but I still loved being here and I loved who I was here.
Yeah. We were really young too. Yeah. Like I was 22 when I moved here.
Yeah. Same.
It's been 12 years, you know? And so I was kind of like laughing about this with Ed, and I think I even like said this to you in retrospect, like it's not even, oh no, I was talking to Sarah about it, my old roommate.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm so old now. It's that I was so young then. And I think that is what's like really kind of like is the big shock for me in life, is that I can't believe how young I was. Like Ed and I used to talk about like, oh, like, you know, when we'd be single, it'd be like, well, when you're like 28, like you'll be married, you'll have a couple kids. Like we used to really like talk about not knowing where you would be or like expecting different things for yourself. Like most of, I mean, with time, like you realize that like you had completely unrealistic expectations for life in general.
Right. Cause you didn't know like systems and like, I don't know how the world works or whatever.
I mean, you basically are working off of what your parents did and television. Like that is how most people inform their lives, which is like the most unrealistic. I mean, media is never like, doesn't have the best reputation for being super realistic. So I don't know why we tend to reflect that. But like, how are you, if you're like not the most present person in the world, you're probably projecting about what your life is going to be like all the time. Like we all are trying to like wonder what's going on next. And you just don't have the information.
Yeah. Home is wherever you make it. You know, it's also so like if you haven't made this your home, you really need to investigate why.
Or you just need to accept that life is boring. Like that might you might not have just like come to that conclusion yet, which is like ultimately where you will get.
Yeah.
Is that you can't ask too much of it. It's like just it's something we all have to do. If you move to LA, you've already had probably a more productive and interesting life than a lot of people in this country. I mean, most people don't even ever leave their hometown.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
At least we're out here. That's exciting.
Well, yeah. What do you think, Greg?
No, I think it's also interesting that the call came from her in her car, which is can be a very lonely, like boring, depressing feeling. And you're in your car a lot out here, but you're also in your car a lot wherever else you'd be living, unless you're in like New York or wherever that has public transportation.
Yeah. But like that time suck goes to something anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything in life is really boring. Like if you like if in New York, like that would just be a lot of walking or sitting on the subway. Like everything has compromises, which is why
it's true.
We can play grass is greener. But like bottom line, life kind of sucks a little bit everywhere. And in life, all the things that you have to do to be a functioning adult, they are boring.
Yeah.
Anything good for you is boring and hard. And that is what it is. Like eating healthy or being like a super like, you know, productive. It all like it just it drains you. And that is what it is. Get used to it, baby. Sorry. That's the other thing too, is that like I'm sorry I can't comfort you, but like we're all in it, you know?
Yeah, I wonder what like her expectations were.
I think that she has expectations for life that are unrealistic. Like I think that that's what it is. I think that she's surprised that all of a sudden like life has slowed down a little bit.
And or maybe it's like passed you by so quickly, because that 10 years went by real quick. Let me tell you, I am surprised that like I'm old enough to have spent a decade somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also that it like it just where did it go? Like it's just crazy to me.
I was like I can say 20 years ago. Oh, that was 20 years ago because I was 14 20 years ago. And that is
that's insane.
I was like an adult. Like not really. I was 14. But like I had like thoughts and like I could do stuff and like I had.
And it still feels so close to you, right? Like you can just remember being 14 like yesterday.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I want to order Chinese food. I thank you for your call. I apologize that life is boring as an adult because it is.
Yeah.
I agree. But let's take what?
So I was also just going to recommend for her to explore the East Side if she hasn't.
Yeah, my God, woman, please. Maybe move to like another part of LA. Maybe that's like the little jazz up you need. Is like stop, you know, not being on the West Side
the
anymore.
The West Side can be very homogenous compared to the East Side. And it's just an awesome city with lots of great pockets. Move, just go explore. Take advantage of it.
The one thing I will say, though, is that you should know that you yourself are not going to change no matter where you go. Like, that's unless you like consciously are making a change.
Yeah.
You can like do anything. Like, you know, a lot of like people like do this, like they relocate, you know,
because
they're like, yeah, like it's like I can just like I'll have a new life somewhere else. It's like, nah, bitch, like, you know, that's how sociopaths.
It's true. Work. It's true in a sense that like. But I also like the reason why I moved to LA was to have like some sense of autonomy, like, you know, living on the East Coast, you both know, like you can have, especially if you have an extended family, you can, they live like right on top of you sometimes. Yeah. And so I think I came to LA thinking like, I'm going to be the Christina that I've always wanted to be or figure it out. And like, that's how I used to talk. Now I know. but I think I like within the last 2 months, I just finally like found who that was.
Yeah.
But it came from a lot of doing the work. I don't think it was being in LA, but I think it did come from having the distance from my family to be able to do that.
I have to pee really bad. Can I just pee and you guys
well, I think we're done. Okay. Yeah, we're done, right? Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
I think we get an Instagram comment that I think is worth parsing through.
Okay. I mean, Wags, Greg, and I will definitely try our best.
I would like to see you try.
As well as you. I could say the same thing to you.
So this one came from Arlen Jeremy.
Oh, I know Arlen.
They said, question, am I the only person who thought it'd be a good and healthy idea to cut the cord, aka go without cable? Yet it has turned me into the worst human being / troll possible. I have a lot of time in my hands at night that I literally spend more time on social media hating everyone and getting into arguments with other trolls. And I fucks more on the Scruffs and Grinders, which definitely isn't healthy. I think I need cable back.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. I mean, like, the internet lends to being a troll so easily now. Like, you can just, it's the best. It's so good for, I mean, I'm a troll. I'm more like a Jody Sweetin troll, like, or I'll, like get really into, like, a political idea or theme.
Like, it makes you into, like, I'm gonna win this argument, and you go back and forth. I mean, I don't do that on Twitter, just because, like.
I mean, I'm a black and white thinker, and I have to, like, I'm constantly trying to not be that way. Like, I'm actively working against my natural black and white thinking all the time. But, like, when I get into something, I get so into it. And that's, I think, what not having cable or, like, not watching a TV show. And I've been feeling this, too, lately, where it's, like, I need, like, a series that I really want to, like, channel my energy into. Because otherwise, I just wind up like picking a little bit from here, picking a little bit from there, but then also getting way too, like I told you today, I'm into men's rights activists. Like I'm all in their, I'm on like, you know, red pill. Like, dude, have you been red pilled yet? I mean, like, it's men going their own way. Like I really have committed to alt-right. Reading about the alt-right and like getting into the Reddit. And like, I feel like there was a period of time where I kind of believed Pizzagate was real. Like,
I remember that.
That means I'm too far gone.
Yeah.
I'm too far gone. I mean, the evidence is compelling.
That's when you need Christina to bring you back.
Yeah. Men going their own way.
So like the way I handled that was like, I wasn't like, no, Molly, I just let her, you know, spin the web
I'm
out.
I'm not a fucking child. Like I'm allowed to inform myself about anything. Like I don't need to be handled. Like I was like, you know, people get naturally curious about anything. And I think that it's very important to like inform yourself on what the other side is talking about.
Yeah, I know. But I think that, like, the Pizzagate stuff is just, like, beyond the pale.
I'm a little flat earther, too. I'm, like, I'm open to it. What? No, I'm just open to possibilities. That's where, like...
No, I have a problem with that perspective because it's just, like... So, like, when we're talking about... It's been scientifically proven not to
I have
be.
A Gemini rising. I can't like, control.
There's factual evidence for that not to be true.
I know it's not true, but it's also like, you know, we also, it's the same thing as when we discovered why I don't like sex talk. It's because I literally visually have to, I picture people like fucking like it's, and you don't do that.
It's an affliction.
I do. Like I go straight to it.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't like it.
I think maybe I'm being triggered as a person who's like a media person. And it's just like, I hate how my vocation has started to treat things of no merit on equal scale of things that do have merit in the idea of looking objective.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Dismantles truth.
Also not searching for this in any sort of traditional form of media. This is me going to seek out the way that people conversate on Reddit.
And you like the
reason
culture.
Why I do that is because, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I really do feel like half of this shit on Twitter, like where everyone's sitting there like reminding each other to like vote or like, you know, speaking about their politics, we're speaking to the people that are that already know. We're telling each other that the people that already know. There's a lot of people out there that no one is like, we're not paying attention to what it is they think. And I don't really, I know they're like, if I don't know what my enemy is thinking, how am I ever going to like move on that? I got to know what the red pillars think because now I can act against that.
Do you follow people on the far right on Twitter, like a Ben Shapiro or like
Yeah. And I've been doing that intentionally lately because I just realized my knowledge isn't as round as it could be. Like I don't have enough information about what really the alt-right is saying.
That's
like,
good.
I don't know what the Proud Boys are really doing. I got to get involved to know what they're doing. And like the best way to do that is to actually like read about like the opinions of people that engage in it. Why do they find that an appealing brand? Why do they find that something? It's probably, I mean, we know why.
Yes.
It's because they're ignorant. But I want to hear how. I want to hear how they express themselves. And that, I think that might be like part of it as a writer. Maybe like just you have to like kind of like, not every character or not everything that you write is going to be people coming from the same place. In fact, that's very boring and a problem if every single character has the same motivation and way of thinking. So in order, I personally don't think like a men's rights activist. So I got to know how they're thinking, you know, that's the way I feel.
Right.
But I mean, that's me. Like I'm an anthropologist, man.
do you do anything?
He doesn't even acknowledge what I just said.
I mean, no, I mean, like, I guess I kind of see like the benefit of, I don't know. It's just,
we are that for Greg. Like, what the fuck do we, like, Greg is a 32-year-old white man. Like, what interest does he have in us? We are.
You want to hear the origin story of how I got interested?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Please. Yes.
Well, basically, so Tori would always listen to you guys, usually in her bathroom, getting ready for bed, and just because, and the fan in the bathroom beyond, so she'd play it at max volume, thinking like only she could hear it in there, but I'm in the living room and I can hear everything.
Oh, geez.
So I just started like getting into like the beginning music and like, hey guys, it's Malls. And just like, I just like, then I was like, oh, the content's pretty good too. And I just kind of, and then we like queued it up for road trips, and you know, that's how I fell into Police Advise Nation.
Yeah. This is how you just sort of like things enter your life. Like yesterday I was doing the same thing with the podcast. When I started it, I couldn't stand it. Like I started it and I was like, oh, this is like, why am I doing this? And then like 3 hours later, I was singing the theme song and sad that I was out of episodes. Like, you know, you kind of just like get on board with stuff. But like, it's interesting to like, you know, I don't know,
like
if you're
what appeals
like
to you as a, like, I mean, obviously you're not our target audience.
No.
So like, what do you get out of listening to it? Tell me what you love about me.
I mean, one, you guys, you guys are just entertaining. I mean, Malls, you just turn the mic on and let her go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you'll end up at the end of the flat earth. You know, it's
I'm a flat earther, you guys.
But I do think I follow people who, like, my wife likes, like, even like interior designers, like on Twitter, just to like get into what she's into and just like expand my horizons.
That's so cute. She's getting into Tori's mind.
No, and not just that, but like I also follow people on the right who I don't agree with, that, you know, just to see what is going on, not be out of touch and not be in an echo chamber with just everyone retweeting things back and forth to each other that everyone agrees and, you know, gets you nowhere.
That's like, what's been driving me nuts is that I watch The View every day because it's a good show.
It is.
And I just like, I realize like that's a whole audience that is being exposed to good and bad information.
Yeah.
And like, I find it really harmful. And I also think that those are like the white women voters that this, like we're always talking about being so influential, but not like making the choices that are really in their best interest when it comes to voting or whatever. And I had a moment this week where this chick, Abby, who's new, she was like a Fox News person. She's such a fucking boner kill. Like, I hate her. Like, I really like, I hate her. And I'm not a journalist, so I'm allowed to say that. I don't like her. I really like, I just think she's harmful. I think she's bad at conversation. I think she's shitty. And she was like derailing this like very important conversation that was being had over and over and over again. It was about Kavanaugh. And she kept like derailing this conversation to like kind of punctuate it with her talking points as opposed to engaging. And I just thought, wow, she sure is keeping everyone who is on her side of the argument involved on her side of the argument and not opening their mind up, because she shuts down every like thought with basically just like a bullet point of her beliefs. And like that this is the kind of thing that it's like, if I don't know that's happening, I'll never understand why we lost that election 2 years ago. I'll never understand that, because that was a shock to me. And I like, you know, I think a lot of us, I don't know, allow ourselves to like hear from the same voices over and over again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's other people out there that are writing like profiles for magazines that aren't the same six journalists that I always follow on Twitter. You know what I mean? There's like a lot going on out there. Mostly, I want Chinese food. That's like my big thing.
Well, that was it.
I'm a flat earther.
Okay.
The earth is absolutely flat. You guys,
I'm dying right now.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us. Greg, thank you so much for being here. Rusty first episode back after a long summer. But you gotta like, you know, you gotta be a reg now. We gotta have Greg coming by.
We gotta have Greg on the reg.
Greg on the reg.
Regular Greg. That is like really what we're gonna, that's what we have to. We have to have Tori on as well, but I didn't want the two of them to be on together. I felt that it was better to let Tori shine on her own and really to give Greg his moment.
Thank you. I mean, thank you for breaking me out of that codependency and letting me shine on my own.
I know. Yeah. You have to get
your own. You were a delight, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Isn't he nice? Like, yeah. You know, I really woke up not feeling myself today. Greg went and got us coffee. It was fabulous.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, you know, way to really make it up for cisgender straight white guys, Greg.
Okay.
You're helping out the average. Now, that said, I'm going to go lay down for 10 minutes, so you have to leave. But thank you, Greg. We're going to link your social in the description, but also, do you want people to follow you? Do you even want that?
I mean, you can. I mean, you know, there's probably going to be a little more sports than you're interested in.
You'll get a smooth 3 followers from this.
Yeah.
People like sports.
Welcome.
You're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Is that what it is?
I am.
That's your thing? Okay. Well, anyone else out there, if you love the Philadelphia Eagles, and I know that you exist, hit up Greg. Get involved in the community.
Get that sweet Philadelphia Eagles content.
And the rest of you, I'll see you on the Red Pill Reddit. Christina.
Wags knows that the episode's winding down.
Men going their own way. All right, you guys. Talk to you next week. Thank you. Bye. Thanks.